Good morning. Good to see each of you here. I want to do a continuation or study on spiritual warfare. And last sermon was titled Understanding the Battle, looking a little bit at different parts of the battle. And this morning I want to continue with the title I gave the sermon this morning is Overcoming the Devil. We're going to look at ways to be overcomers. The book of Revelation talks a lot about overcoming. And we want to be known as those that are overcomers, being victorious. So I ask you the question, do you consider yourself an overcomer? I'd love to go through Revelation and look at all the promises that are given to the overcomers. The last week's was hunting season, and spent some time in the woods, and yesterday was opening day of rifle, and had the privilege of hunting. And I want to start with an illustration. As I was sitting in the woods, walking in, the first thing that I didn't get too far into the woods until I saw fluorescent orange, and was like, oh, that's not a good sign always to have a lot of fluorescent orange around you, because there's a lot of people after the same deer that you are. But I had to gain a new appreciation for the laws that everyone needs to put on sufficient fluorescent orange to find protection and to experience protection. So it is important to have your orange on, and you can see a hunter far away. It is for your safety, and it is for your good. I am very sensitive to how people, if you hunt with me and you're careless with how you handle your gun, you'll probably be corrected. I'm very sensitive. I don't care if your gun's loaded or unloaded, never point it at me. And my boys will tell you that I drilled that and drill it every time if they get careless. Because I had an experience in my teen years where there was some careless hunters, and a gun behind me went off, and I dropped to the ground as if I was shot. It scared me so bad. They all gathered around me, and then I looked up and gave them a good lecture. It didn't hit me, but I never will forget that. As long as I live, that was an experience that happened to me, and that's probably why I'm very sensitive in that. But the deer have, they usually get a warning when they hear the shots for target practice and whatever. They get ready, the smart buck, run for safety. And the deer are in the woods surrounded by hunters with guns and bullets out to take their life. And, it is something that I enjoy, and doing it safely. But I thought the Lord gave me that picture of our spiritual warfare is a lot the same. We're in this world, and we're surrounded by spiritual forces. And we looked last time at our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against someone a little stronger than you. But our battle is against spiritual enemies who are stronger than us, who are bigger than us. We are no match for the spiritual forces around us. None of us can stand against them ourselves. But when you look at Ephesians, the book of the great doctrine of salvation, and also the great teaching on our victory and our weapons that we have are not carnal. They are spiritual. And it is important that you go into the woods every day and your life, wherever you go, that you are well protected and that you know who you are in Christ and that you can stand and that you do everything, as the Bible says, to stand. This is not a joke. This is worse than the deer running through the woods the next 2 weeks. And it's a blessing when you know who you are and you can consider yourself an overcomer and you use your weapons, your spiritual weapons, your spiritual armor for the Lord and for your protection and to be strong in the Lord so that you can be one known as an overcomer. It's my heart for everyone that you leave here or came here, leave here, live your life as an overcomer. That you identify the battle. It's real in your life. Maybe you took a couple bullets in your life. Maybe you had a couple times where you're wounded. But you hopefully all are doing well. And yes, deer have that story too, where they get wounded and live with some wounds. In a spiritual battle, it is that way. So we need to do everything to stand. The other story I thought of in preparing, the high school here in town, they use the mascot Blue Devils for their mascot, and they paint demons throughout the street and sidewalks of all the football players. And it was something for me to get used to see all these demons painted through the sidewalks and the streets. And several years ago when I was at church, I preached a sermon, I went home and found a demon painted in front of my house. So they got the wrong house. Supposed to be my neighbor's house, but it was in front of my house. Thankfully, it was not on the sidewalk, it was on the street. And I didn't know how to respond to that. I didn't really like the idea of every morning coming out of my house and seeing a demon. I don't know if you would like that or not, but that was what I was faced with. And it took me a little time to think about it, pray about it, and I came to the conclusion that every time I step out of my house, I'm not going to be intimidated by a demon, but I'm going to be reminded to pray and to engage in battle. I'm going to be reminded of who I am in Christ, and I'm going to rise up, and it's going to be a reminder for me to pray, and a reminder for me to put on the armor, a reminder of how real these bullets are every day and all through my life. The devil is out to as a roaring lion and also as an angel of light. So we put on the armor, and today that demon has faded away. It's no longer there. So that's just a picture of the devil's end. And so we can be encouraged in the Lord. And that's my heart and my desire to go into the Bible and to encourage you to continue facing the battle. I'm going to use Ephesians chapter 6 for the text and continue in this. It says that we wrestle not, in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, or because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Standing in the evil day. There's twice in this chapter it says we're to put on the whole armor of God. In verse 11 it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In verse 13, wherefore, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So twice we're encouraged in this chapter, two verses, because of this, when you consider the battle, and that's why I started with a picture of the battle, because it's real. But I want to leave you with all the armor to put on, so that we are encouraged to put on the armor and step right into the battle, and not to run or not to turn our back. If you study the armor, there is no armor given for your back. And the reason is we are not to turn our back on the devil. We're to face spiritual warfare, and we're to be strong in the Lord, the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God and go right into the battle knowing that we're protected, knowing that we have the power to stand, knowing who we are in Christ, knowing that, yes, if we're going to accomplish great things for God, we must go into the battle. And so that's why it is treated with such urgency. The devil wants a place in your life, and God wants to sit on the throne of your heart and rule as king. So that is my desire for my own life and for each one of you this morning, that Jesus would be sitting the throne of your heart and be ruling as king, Lord of your life. And when you have that experience, that happens through faith, but he will take first place in your life, but he will not take second or accept second place in your life. We must give Jesus number one seat in our heart. Some people try to just add Jesus to their lives. You talk to people, yes, they believe about God and they believe about Jesus and they know about creation and know a lot of good things, and they think this would be good. I heard someone say this way, well, if Jesus, they were witnessing to a person, and he said, well, he's considering all this. Well, if Jesus is out saving people, I'm certainly not going to get in the way. That was his, if this is really true and Jesus is out there saving people, I'm not going to get in the way. Yeah, save me, sure. Just add Jesus to my, I'll take salvation, but he's nowhere close to letting Jesus rule and reign in his heart. And when that happens, the devil is overthrown and defeated. We can overcome a lot of things in our lives. There's a lot of brokenness in the world. There's a lot of sin in the world. Satan is alive and well. But Jesus is also ruling and reigning in the church, and he wants to reign in your heart and life. So that is why we put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, I ask the question, have you done all to stand? Are you taking this serious? Are you doing all that you can do to stand in the evil day? I like to think of that as, yes, we're living in evil times. It always was evil. Sin was always around, and it was always, we think sometimes it can't get any worse than it is. Well, I would like to say there were times in history where it was worse. Sodom and Gomorrah was pretty bad. The time of Noah was pretty bad. And we're not quite there yet, but we do see a lot of things in the world we don't like, but it's not as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not as bad as Noah's day, but Jesus said it will be like the days of Sodom, and it will be like the days of Noah. Those are the days where Jesus will come back. It's described as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Noah. So that's why we look at this seriously and say, and I hope you all can look at your own lives and say, yes, I am doing all to stand. I'm not careless with my spiritual life. I'm not careless with choices that I make. I'm not careless, but I'm doing all to stand. We have the weapons that we need. Standing against the wiles or the tricks of the devil is what we are doing. The whole armor, Paul's saying here, put on the whole armor of God. Remember that Paul was in prison when he was writing this and under constant guard. And so that's the setting where this was written. And when he wrote this letter, and he was forced to stare at the soldier's armor day in and day out. He had a picture of the armor needed by the Christian believer to combat the forces of evil. And he described it here as the armor of God, comparing it to the armor of a soldier in that day. Put it on means that we must take initiative to put on the armor. It's not something that falls from heaven, so to speak, or it's not something that automatically comes into our lives when we believe in Jesus. It is something that we pursue after. We take the initiative to put on the armor of God. the weapons, so to speak, like the hunters going into the woods, put on the fluorescent orange, and they put on the rifle, and they load it up at the right time, and they enter into the woods. We are to put on the whole armor of God, the spiritual protection, and also the offensive weapons. I'm going to look at two of them this morning, the belt of truth and the shield of faith. They go together, and I'm not going to go through them in order, and I'm not going to go through them all this morning, but I think some of them go together a little more. The breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation, to me, go together. And then the sword of the Spirit and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Those are the offensive weapons that we have. But I think these two are important, as they all are. The belt of truth is the first one that's mentioned. Having your loins girt about with truth. The belt of truth was used to by the soldier to hold the soldier's clothing next to his body. So the belt kept everything together. And I'd like to say that that's the importance of truth in our lives, to have the belt of truth holding everything together. It is important that we are on a search and continued search and know the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then there's much truth that we study week to week, day to day in the Bible. So the truth is what holds everything together. We're on a search for truth. And hopefully we have found the truth, but we continue to find more and more truth, because the truth is what will set you free. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So there's a freedom that comes when we know the truth. There's many people, I was reminded again this week, that many people are on a search for truth. One man said that he went to the Bible and he went to Revelation right away. He started reading Revelation and he read all of the stories of the wrath of God, and he said, "What kind of a God is that?" And I said, "Well, Revelation is maybe not the best place to start when you pick up a Bible." And I encouraged him to go to the book of Genesis and read the first two chapters of the Bible and just see the perfect world, the paradise that God created. And all of us are longing for that. If everyone had the chance to go back and live there, we'd all go in a moment, because that's what God created. And then go to the last two chapters of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22. John saw a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem, and everything is completely restored. And that's the story. And in between, you have the story of redemption, the unfolding plan of redemption, where God is redeeming people back to Himself. He's changing hearts and giving them new life. He's going to restore the heavens and the earth. It says it very clearly. John in Revelation 21, he saw a new heaven and a new earth. So at the center of God's heart is redemption. And he thanked me for giving that outline for him to start with and to see a picture of God. And he was reading other religions and he was searching for truth. There's many people who are searching for truth, and we have the privilege to teach truth, to discover truth, to know Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. John 16:13 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So there you see Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth who will guide you in all truth. When you truly follow the Holy Spirit, He will guide you in all truth. Many people use the Holy Spirit as just the Spirit told me this and the Spirit told me that and the Spirit, they use that loosely, but it says there that the Spirit will guide you in all truth. And the Word is truth as well. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Satan is known as the father of lies, who is a liar and deceiver. And so we need to know the truth to face the father of lies. It is very important that we accept and believe the truth. Satan has the power to blind people's minds. When people believe in his lies and accept them as truth and believe in him, he has the power to darken people's minds and blind their eyes from the truth. Satan also has the power to build strongholds in the mind where people begin to believe a lie and build a belief system around a lie, and that develops into a stronghold. So Satan has the power to build strongholds in people's minds and people's lives. Romans 6 is very clear that whoever you yield yourselves to, his servant, you will become. So if you yield yourself to sin, you'll become enslaved to sin. And if you yield yourself to righteousness, you'll become more and more righteous, and it'll lead you to holiness. So Satan has the power to build strongholds in those that believe in him and accept the lies and yield to his temptations. So Jesus is the truth. We want to know Jesus, follow Jesus, live for Jesus, allow him to be Lord of our lives. That will bring a freedom. That will bring a freedom. When we follow the Spirit of God, He is the Spirit of truth and will guide you into all truth. The Word of God is truth, and that's why we gather together every Sunday. I love to hear truth. And I love when we have Sunday school lessons and sermons and discussions surrounded around truth, and people that have studied throughout the week and present lessons, and we go away with applications to our lives and things that we can learn and build upon the truth that we already know. Because it is the belt of truth that is what holds everything together. It is one of the parts of the armor that we must have on. So I get a little concerned when there's a lacking of a desire for truth or a lacking of hunger. When I see someone who's hungry, I wanted to bring, I told you about Steve Endick and what God's doing in his life, but I have one of his Bibles that I gave to him, and he himself went and put little color-coded tabs in every book of the Bible, and I still have it. He was struggling when everybody just paged to the books of the Bible, so he put those tabs in there, and he was applying himself. It's one of the signs that I look at that and I say, if you are applying yourself, if you're searching for truth like that, that you will take an evening and get color-coded tabs and put them in your Bible, you want to know truth. There's many other books that you can read as well. So it's important that we have good libraries. We have a library here, and I'm thankful for that. Grace does a good job of getting books in there, and I've never had any concerns with the type of books that are there, but it's important what for books you're reading. I think we have more of a problem that the library is being used enough, getting all those books being read. There's so many books available, so much reading we can do, but I want to encourage everyone to just dig into truth, a search for truth. Takes time, takes effort. And then also speak the truth. We want to be truthful, known, be known as a person that is truthful. That people can take us at our word. You know, when people say, I swear that I will never do that, or whatever, swearing under oath or swearing, we don't need to do that because we're people that are truthful. Inside, we can always know that we will be truthful. Ephesians 4:25 says, put away lying, speak the truth with every man. The second one that I want to look at this morning, parts of the armor, is the shield of faith. And I like the way it says, above all. I'm not sure if that's... I read that and say, you know, I think that's a good translation there. In other words, this is possibly the most important of them all. I don't know if that's, they're all important, but he says here in verse 16, it says, above all, make sure you have this shield in place. It's like a shield that you can dodge the bullets. It's like a deer running through the woods with a shield. Just, here comes a bullet. And we have this shield of faith that protects us from all the darts of the enemy. The fiery darts. These are darts that are not good. These are darts that are deadly. These are darts that were used in war. Small, slender pieces of cane. And these darts were out to kill. And so I think that gives us a picture there of how we, as God's people, have this shield and we have this protection. And I just thank the Lord for this. Faith is the victory. Faith is important, that we know who we are. We know that Jesus saved our soul. We know that Jesus can overpower the devil. We know that there's power in the blood. We know all these things. We are assured and we have faith before us. And it's a protection that is so important. In archery season this year, I keep using stories of the hunting because I think they go together. But I went out one time without a bow, and there's this buck come right up and stood there, and he just had no... I could do nothing because I had no bow and I had no arrow. I couldn't. He stood broadside, looked at me, turned, and did everything to tease me. And I think that that's a picture of a Christian. Satan knows that he's defeated. When Jesus was crucified, Jesus died, the blood of Jesus defeated the devil. And the devil's defeated. He cannot touch the child of God who's walking with him and has this faith. If we waver in our faith, we're prone to the darts of the wicked. And here Paul says that we need the shield of faith. Abraham is used as an example of this faith. He's a model of this faith. I love the story of Abraham, where Abraham walked with God and waited 25 years for the promised son. After the promised son was born, Isaac, God came to Abraham and said, offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham believed and obeyed. He had the faith that it took to obey God and follow God and walk with God. And he knew that God was up to something. He didn't know what was going on. He thought God was going to raise Isaac from the dead again. He'd walk with God to the point that he knew the voice of God. And he knew that God was going to do something great here, and he did. So that is the faith that we need, an obedient faith, a repentant faith, a faith that is in action. Throughout the pages of history, many have struggled to understand what this faith really looks like. Some interpreted it totally disconnected from works in any way, shape, or form. It's a faith that is connecting to God, and it's all God. But others came along. Menno Simon was one who said it is a true evangelical faith. It is a faith that's in action. It's a faith that's working, and it's a faith that's repenting, and it's a faith that's obeying. It's a faith that's very active and alive. And so the two must be connected. Your faith must be connected to your works. And a true faith is really what we need. And when we live and walk in this faith, we have a shield that the devil cannot touch. The devil is defeated. And I want you all to stand with stronger faith this morning and say, yes, that's what I want. Yes, that's what I need. That's where I want to live. The faith that protects us from the darts of the enemy. Jesus said, once when I come, will I find faith on the earth? What a question, what a loaded question that is. When he comes back, will he find this faith? And I hope and trust the answer is yes with all of our lives. We are experiencing this kind of faith. We could look at Hebrews 11, the great faith chapter. We could look at many to really get a hold of what this is. Hebrews chapter 11. Yes, if we're praying for more faith, we likely are praying for more trials. If we're praying for more faith and we want to go deeper into ministry and deeper into life in ministry and whatever it is, yes, we're going to face deeper levels of battle. That's just the way it is. The stronger you are, you read Hebrews chapter 11 and you see the story of faith, men who struggled, Abraham, Moses, and all the great men of faith, heroes of faith. You say, wow, I want to be like that. I want to be strong. I want to be a hero of faith. And then you look at their life, and that's really how we become strong, is through intense battlefronts that we face, and we know that God is able to deliver us, carry us through. Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. The promises of God are of no value if we have no faith to believe and receive them. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says the word of God preached did not profit them, because why? It wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. So the word of God being preached, we want to preach and we want to teach and we want to be strong, but every person must receive the word with faith. And we must apply it to our lives and use it where we say, yes, this is true. I believe God can do this in my life. So we're saved by faith, we walk by faith, and we live by faith, not by sight. And someday our faith will become sight. It could happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, where your faith becomes sight and you leave this world and enter into the glories of heaven. Your faith will become sight. That will happen. But today, we cannot see. We believe the promises of God by faith. We're saved by faith. If a person cannot believe that Jesus died for them and their sins can be forgiven, they cannot be saved if they cannot believe. And if a person is not willing to take up the cross and live the life and walk by faith and live for Jesus Christ, allowing Him to be Lord of their life, they cannot continue to be saved. So we're saved and we're continue to be saved as we walk by faith. So I want to encourage everyone, let's move on. This is a high calling, but it is the shield. I think we all would say, yes, I want this shield. I want this protection. I want this. I'm tired of the fiery darts. I do not want the fiery darts. And when we believe the devil, it can be some fiery darts. And when we yield to him, it can be some fiery darts. We can look at the life of Peter. We can look at a lot of examples in the Bible. But I want to just close by this. God gives us all the protection we need. Everything is given to us. We must put it on. And we must take initiative to study, to know the truth. The Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God. Take time to read and study God's Word as we do each Sunday and during the week. And then we must anchor our lives in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, yes, I want to live for God. And yes, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. And yes, I will obey Him whatever the cost. Yes, I know God will deliver me whatever I'm asked to do in life. And we step forward and live the life of faith. Verse 13, wherefore, because of this, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the many promises in the Word of God, the great picture of the Christian's armor, and the battlefield that we live in. This world is not a playground. This world is not our home. This world is a battleground, and heaven is our home. We look and long for the new heavens and the new earth according to the promise given by Peter and Isaiah. We know that you created a perfect world, and we know at the end of the Bible you have a perfect world again for all those who believe and follow you. And we want to be part of that group, the redeemed, the overcomers who live for God. Bless each one of us here this morning. If anyone is here struggling and not overcoming, I pray that you'd move them to faith. Move them to a new level. Move them to put on the whole armor and help them. Help us all to put on the armor of God so we're well equipped for the battles that we face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.